This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com. Working on
a nightmare. Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
They say hooray for Hollywood, and Hollywood was the training ground of our own dear and beloved Sean Michael Lyle. Sean Michael, you are a man of so many facets. You're like a diamond coming out of the ground out there in South Africa somewhere.
You can buy me at the mall on 14 easy payments.
Easy payments. So we're talking about sports mascots.
Oh, yeah, mascots, yeah.
We're talking about the sports mascots. We'll step out into the newsroom as soon as the last hour concluded. Sean says, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I interviewed Go the Gorilla.
Well, I had him on my show in Arizona. Now, you don't really interview a mascot.
Yeah, because they can't talk.
They don't talk. When they're wearing their costume, they don't talk. I didn't realize they made so much money. And you'll never guess which one, because I was a season ticket holder for the Utah Jazz. You never guess what they have.
What?
A bear.
Oh, well, there you go.
But and do keep in mind, though, that they do work year-round. So they're
making appearances. That's
yeah,
true.
But anyway, the guy who was the handler of the mass of Go the Gorilla, who is very acrobatic, he's an amazing athlete.
Uh-huh.
But the guy who was the handler was previously the gorilla.
He was retired as Go the Gorilla.
Yeah, he was a retired. And huh. I don't remember if he was the original. I don't think so. He didn't seem that old. But Go the Gorilla was the first NBA mascot in 1980.
Wow.
And it's amazing how he became the mascot. Somebody at a Phoenix Suns game was having, I think it was a birthday, and they sent a singing telegram. And that was back in the days where if you paid extra money for it, you could have somebody show up in costume.
Yeah.
So he showed up in a gorilla costume. Security made sure that he wasn't carrying any weapons or anything. They checked him out, and they said, okay, I think it was somebody who actually worked for the Phoenix Suns. So they sent him on in there, and he did his singing, his gorillagram, as it was called. He did his gorillagram, and then they asked him if he would stay there and kind of entertain a few of the fans that were there, not in the game.
Right.
And then they liked it, and they asked him to come back.
Wow.
And he kept coming back, and that really is where the NBA mascots
fascinating.
Began.
Fascinating. Now, did Has the costume changed since the original?
No, it wasn't a very good one to begin with.
Yeah.
It's But he actually, I have a Go Gorilla doll at home that he gave me.
Who doesn't?
When he was on the show.
And so he jumped and dunked and did a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
They do. Well, some of them are part of a troop that goes around. If you go to NBA games, every NBA team hires these groups. Some have their own of these people that perform during timeouts where they have like 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 guys who all run up and down the court dunking, trampoline dunking.
Uh-huh.
And they lay out the mats and everything, and it's really, it's amazing. And they'll go like 30 feet.
Wow.
And slam dunk from 30
feet. You say you had a brush with the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, well, I was in Salt Lake City, and I was a season ticket.
Where haven't you been?
That's supposed to be really a loud, loud stadium.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, it was until they got rid of all their good players. But the other mascot that I was acquainted with and actually did the sound for him when he appeared was the San Diego Chicken.
Oh, the original.
The original pro mascot.
He was a Greek guy.
Ted Giannoulis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, see, the interesting thing is he was, as you were talking about, a radio station mascot. KGB Radio in San Diego, he was the radio station mascot.
The Chicken.
Yeah, the KGB Chicken, he was known as. And he would show up at Padres game and Chargers games.
That's what I call Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. He was the KGB Chicken until eventually he, I think he got laid off or fired from the radio station.
Fired the Chicken.
I think they fired the Chicken.
They fired.
As opposed to
the
frying.
Chicken.
Wonder if he ran out of there like his head was cut off.
I don't know.
So he started doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, exactly why he lost that position. I didn't ask him about it. But he was at Washington State University doing a game, and I was running the local commercial radio station. So I was doing sound for Washington State. So he had these cassettes that he gave me, and he said, okay, these are the cassettes.
The Chicken's cassettes.
So he was just this guy. We were in the locker room, and we were going over the sheet of the information and what I was supposed to play with.
He took his head off to talk to you, right?
He wasn't wearing a costume.
He wasn't in his costume. Okay, gotcha.
So I actually did sound for the San Diego Chicken. Now, the interesting thing about him is that his costumes, this is when he was really, at the peak of his fame.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
You know, he was doing major college and major professional and everything. He was at the peak of his fame. And even then, his costumes were all made from the very beginning to the very end by his mother.
His
mother made the chicken.
She made the chicken.
You know?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, a mom who makes the chicken, that's pretty good.
That's the best you can hope for.
And speaking of it, at that time at Washington State University, at that time, because they've had these national championships of college mascots for years.
Right.
At Washington State, huh?
And at that time, Butch the Cougar was the national champion mascot, and that's the Washington State mascot.
Huh.
Usually, it was actually a woman who was in the costume.
Butch was a woman, huh?
Butch was a woman.
That was a thing back then.
Well, you could go off.
It was a cougar. Why wouldn't it be a woman?
Exactly. But one time, my radio station, we were doing some pictures, and went out to the baseball field, and we had the costume in the big duffel bag. And I had my disc jockeys who were needing to do something, and we were filming something for a TV spot. And so they needed somebody to be Butch the Cougar, and Butch the Cougar, this was during the summertime, so the student wasn't there. So I put on the costume.
Oh, my. Butch the Cougar!
And I got to tell you something, it was really interesting.
Was it empowering?
I became Butch the Cougar.
Really?
It was
amazing.
Very strange. It was actually a football helmet is under the head.
What did it smell like in there?
They keep them pretty clean.
Oh, good, good.
And they have these vests that you wear, to cool things and headbands to keep you cool.
Oh, nice.
But I put on this outfit, and all of a sudden I was doing the shoo, hey, you know. The Butch the Cougar has certain moves, certain
right.
looks. And it was the national champion at the time, and Butch the Cougar acted a certain way. We were filming these commercials. And I became Butch the Cougar.
Butch the Cougar.
I don't know where it came from.
Wow.
It's obviously something in the costume.
You look like you're a cougar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is fascinating. Yeah. How long were you in the costume?
An hour or two, to do a couple of commercials. But yeah,
you had all the moves done.
I had the struts. I knew the looks because I'd seen Butch the Cougar so many times. I was doing sound for the basketball team, the men's and women's basketball team. So yeah, I saw Butch the Cougar all the time. But yeah, it was fascinating being in the costume and becoming that character.
Wow. Could you become Fred Bird if you were forced to at this?
I don't mean to be rude, but Fred Bird is a nice costume, but I don't get a personality out of Fred Bird.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he just runs around and throws his waist out and gives people a beak kiss. Yeah, he's not that exciting.
He's what I'd call one of those frantic mascots.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the Miami, maybe it's Birds, but the Miami Bird for the University of Miami does that,
the
too.
Phillies, yeah.
The Philly Fanatic, yeah. he is really rude and kind of cool, but really rude.
Yeah.
And so that's a personality.
Uh-huh.
You know, so a lot of them do have personalities that are kind of cool. A lot of them, especially these days more than ever, they tend to be kind of rude, you know, and kind of in your face a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but Fred Bird is a little kind of spastic, I guess is the word.
That's an excellent description.
Incredible.
Insight.
Incredible.
Insight.
You don't get this. You know, here we talk about mascots. No.
Mm-mm.
Shawn Michael Lyle.
He did it. He was a Cougar.
And I became a really cool, hip guy.
Yeah.
So there must have been magic. Because I certainly couldn't.
Oh, come
that.
On.
Folks,
Shawn Michael.
You know, it's the kind of quality programming we are honored to bring to each and every one of you on these wonderful Monday evenings. Shawn Michael Lyle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Little Cougar, you. When we come back, it's What's Trending here on KMOX. Hooray for Hollywood.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
We go where you go.
1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
He is the King of Pain. He joins us every Monday evening at exactly this time. He's Braxton Payne to have and discuss what's trending. Good evening, Braxton. How are you, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Fine. We are both still startled by how rapidly the weather went from 70s shorts weather to 40s coats weather.
It's no good.
Yeah. Are you guys bringing in all your plants from outside? I'm sure you guys have plenty of those so they don't get frost on them.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, John has turned into Mr. Mom, so you're having to. Have you been maintaining the plants while?
Yeah, probably not my strongest contribution to the nursing program.
Right.
But I mean, I hung in there. I watered them while it was still warm outside.
Yeah. So most of my plants, I don't mind if they get dried out.
Well, we got a lot of the seasonals, the hostas in there. You know.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'll tell you a story about me keeping plants. So I moved into my house about 5 years ago, and I had a housewarming party. You know, somebody brought me a nice little, you know, succulent plant in a pot. So I had it, you know, for a good week. You know, I was watering it every day. Everything was going well. It was looking good. And then probably about a month in, it was still alive. So I was pretty proud of myself. I was like, this is working out pretty well.
A plant for 30 days.
Yeah, and then so what happened was, you know, I watered it one day, you know, at the time, my girlfriend, now my wife, she goes, why are you watering that plant? And I was like, well, to keep it alive. Well, I had been watering a plant that was a fake plant for 30 days. And
it never looked better. Never looked better.
So the styrofoam that was in there was just molded because of all the water. But the plant still looked great. Because I was wondering, it was kind of starting to smell a little bit. And I was like, so for about 30 days, I was watering a fake plant.
Well, thank you for telling that story.
There's a guy with a green thumb. Literally, he had a green thumb when he picked that thing up.
Hey, the fact that you had an imitation plant's much further than I am. I have nothing that it reveals living organisms in my house.
Yeah, it seems to be the trend of my generation. They love their fake plants and their, you know, all their house plants.
Well,
they name them and they talk to them.
Some of those fake plants do look like the real.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at Christmas time. What are those red plants that everybody...
Poinsettias, Mike.
Yeah, they're always fake.
No.
There's lots of them that are fake.
We always get live poinsettias.
You get a live poinsettia?
And we get several.
You got to be careful because if the dog eats that, it'll get poisoned.
The dog's not going to eat the poinsettia.
Your dog eats checks. It eats money.
No, that was the old dog. That was the old dog.
Oh,
Gus,
okay.
Gus is not an eater. Gus is well behaved. What's trending, Bryson?
Oh, well, so we have a couple options today. I'll give you three of them. We got BTS, James Corden, or Taylor Swift.
Well, I don't know much about any of them, so let's start with BTS.
So BTS is one of the most popular boy bands in the world right now. They are a K-pop band, which means, you know, they're Korean pop. They're from South Korea. But they, you know, sell out football stadiums 2-3 nights in a row.
No.
I mean, they're huge in the United States. They're huge in, obviously, all of Asia and South America.
Do they sing in English or Korean? The
country's going to hell.
So it's a mix. So some of their songs, I mean, they do like a lot of, like, they've done mixes with like Coldplay here in the United States and things like that.
I like
Coldplay. So they have a lot of good, like, top 40 hits. I'm sure you've probably heard them and not really realized who it was or if there was a mix up. But I found out today that they are taking a leave of absence because they are going to serve in the South Korean military. As part of, you know, they have to do that. It's part of, you know, everyone in South Korea has to serve in the military at some point. So they said that they are not going to be formally a band until 2025. And they're at the height of their career right now. So they're all
how old are these years
in the military.
How old are these kids?
The oldest is 29, but I think they're all in like their early 20s, like 25 to 29.
What'd you say their name was?
BTS.
I thought that was a serial killer.
And so that happened to Elvis, too. He was in the height of his career, and he got drafted into the military. So everybody in Korea has to serve in the military, so they're all doing it at the same time. How are they going to keep these kids? I mean, if they're that big a deal and everybody knows who they are, it's going to be like having Elvis in the South Korean military. You can't deal with that.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, you know, like when you remember the scenes for the Beatles when they first came to America, imagine that. I mean, that's essentially what they have stardom-wise among, you know, their fans. I mean, everywhere they go.
Who pays money to go see these things?
Kids, girls.
Oh.
They scream.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, you make fun of it, but your generation did it to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And before that, they did it to Elvis and Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, always them crazy kids, right?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, how about Taylor Swift? That's a name I know, and I like a couple of her songs.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift, I just think it's interesting. You know, she's always been the top of, you know, marketing for her new albums. I think that she, you know, she's always trying to do something different. You know, she's released albums without telling anyone. But, you know, she has a new album coming out, and she's an exclusive partner with Spotify. But what she's been doing around in London is just having lyrics of one of her songs on billboards. And I just thought that was, like, really creative. I mean, everyone talks about Taylor Swift. Everyone knows who she is. But I will say, I hope this album is, you know, back to her pop roots and not so, you know, the one she released during COVID was very, let's put it this way, serious. It was still a great album, but it wasn't, you know, what we're used to seeing from Taylor Swift. So I just think it's interesting that, you know, how she does these guerrilla marketing campaigns, and you know that there's teams of probably, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people just for one album release. And, you know, I don't really hear of any album releases anymore for anyone, really, you know, besides her. You know, you don't really release an album like you used to.
Right. Well, she's quite a star. So when you say she's getting back to that kind of poppy, you're hoping she gets back to the more poppy, bubblegum, girly music?
Like, I mean, her Reputation album was, in my opinion, one of her best. But it was, you know, songs that you can, you know, dance to. They're a little bit more upbeat. So, you know, her last one was Folklore, which was definitely more of, you know, acoustic type style.
Uh-huh. John Jr. was referencing Taylor Swift.
Oh, he's a huge fan of Taylor Swift.
And so she must be previewing her new album on that he was referencing.
On the Thursday night football game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Interesting.
All right, now let's move on over to, what was the other
James
one?
James Corden.
Yeah, so James Corden, you know, a late night talk show host, you know, he does the
carpool karaoke.
Yeah. And he's always kind of seemed like, you know, he's the funny, nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Well, he has been what they call in the restaurant business 86th or banned from a restaurant in New York for his behavior to the service staff. The restaurant, I believe, Michael, you've been to this restaurant, Baltazar.
Baltazar, yeah. It's a Greek place. It's awesome.
Yeah, so the owner took to his Instagram today and said, you know, what, there was two examples where he treated the staff poorly, and he's been banned from the restaurant moving forward.
Wow.
That's so disappointing, man. I like that guy, mm-hmm. but I hate people who are rude to servers.
Yeah, and now if you look on Twitter, you know, when he's, you know, not obviously this is the story, but then there's, you know, people popping out of the woodwork saying that, you know, when he's on set of, you know, a movie, he just sits on his phone or he complains to the assistants and things like that. Which,
well, they said, you know, they said Ellen DeGeneres was like that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, that's like, is anybody in television nice anymore? I mean, Ellen's career was, you know, top, and then it just kind of tumbled pretty quickly.
What satisfaction would one get from being rude to a server? I you know what I mean? Like, we've all had bad experiences in a restaurant, and sometimes, you know, but just to be rude to somebody, like,
there is a personality. Purpose? There's a personality. There are jerks in the world. I mean, there just are.
Yeah.
But there's also a personality type, I am convinced, that they're not truly happy unless they're miserable.
Really?
You know, people like that, I mean, like, they have to be miserable, and it's just, you know, and there's always complaining about this. I've known people like that over the years.
I think we all have an acquaintance or a friend that, you know, they're in these toxic relationships, and the only reason it seems like they're in the relationship is just to bicker. And right. That's the only reason they like to do it. And I think those are the same people that are just rude at restaurants and just rude to staff.
I hate people who are rude in restaurants.
Well,
I
rude,
hate
period.
People who, yeah, but especially in restaurants, like, you know, it's just so uncalled for
life
and so unnecessary,
life
right?
Life is too short, too.
And people are, like, waiting on you. Like, I mean, come on, this is, like, such, I don't know, restaurants, when somebody's waiting on you, it almost feels like you know, like you're the King of England and people are bringing you your food and filling up your water and wiping your lip. Why would you ever be mean to those people?
He's Charles George Windsor. I'm John Hancock. And Braxton Payne, as always, thanks for bringing the goods.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you next week. And when we come back, we're going to be looking up all these famous people buying all these social media platforms. That's next on Hancock and Kelly.
One hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
What are you doing over there, Twittering?
No, I'm just doing a little show prep, you know, as I like to do. I like to be prepared here for the people of St. Louis and beyond who are listening to the voice of St. Louis.
Now, we're going to talk social media, and I like to rip on social media. But I'll have to tell you that probably 95% of all the media that I consume comes originally from Twitter.
Yeah.
Meaning if there's a story, something major's happened, I go to Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I'll seek out my sources from there, Washington Post, New York Times, whatever it might be. But for as much of a bum rap as we give social media, it's probably the thing that I'm most dependent on in terms of getting my news.
Yeah, and so you use Twitter. I know you use Facebook.
Right, for family photos and stuff. What about you?
I've got a Facebook page. I haven't looked at it in 6 years.
Yeah, I know. I've wished you a happy birthday 6 years in a row. You never told me.
That's
thanks,
awfully
Mike.
Nice
that's awfully
of you.
Nice of you.
Yeah, I had to take my birthday off of there at one point.
Why is that?
That's a long story.
Oh, okay, that happens.
But I do use Twitter, and I do tweet on occasion. Rarely do I tweet about anything political.
Right, no. And, I never see you tweet politics.
So it's just stuff
I don't tweet.
I find interesting. I know you don't.
Yeah, I'm so glad I did that. I can tell you the exact moment. We were sitting in this studio.
Yeah.
The night Donald Trump won the election.
2016.
And I thought, I am never going to tweet again. And I've tweeted like two or three times since then, once when my father died and once about some other major thing.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not tweeting.
Yeah.
Because I find my brain coming up, you know, with devious, snarky things to say.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that person.
No, nobody does.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting, you know, that Jack Dorsey, who the founder of Twitter, right, from right here in St. Louis, Missouri, you know, I guess the company went public at some point.
Right.
And so, yeah, now we've got...
Well, Elon Musk is purchasing it.
Apparently. I mean, where is that? Is that thing...
Well,
it
he
happen?
Said
is
he was going to buy it, and then he didn't. And then now he's saying it's back on. But I think they also are forcing the lawsuit to try to enforce him buying. I think Twitter was hoping to get some type of a settlement out of Elon Musk.
Right.
Like, hey, pay us $3 billion and we'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think Elon Musk is like, okay, I'm going to go forward with the $43 billion purchase. And I don't know why you'd want to own Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's going to take it from a public company to a private
company.
How
do they monetize that? I mean, I know they promote the tweets or whatever.
I see some promoted stuff on there, but I guess that's it, or the algorithm. Because what's amazing to me is, you know, we talk NFL, or we talk, if we were to talk a consumer product, Oreo cookies.
Yeah.
I feel like the next thing I know, showing up in my Twitter feed, will be Oreo cookies.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
They're
like the phone's listening to us.
Yeah, the phone
I'm okay with that. I'm all right. Whatever.
Well, I don't like it, but
yeah, I don't like it either.
But at least somebody listens to me.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is that.
Well, there's Gus on those walks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Boy, I can't talk much because we're walking. You know?
You're huffing and puffing.
I'm huffing and puffing. So and then you saw that Kanye, or I guess he's going by
Yay
now.
Y-E.
Yeah. Has bought Parler.
Yeah. Now, do you know Kanye? He's jumped the shark. Do you know what that means?
No. I've heard this term.
So jump the shark comes from the old Happy Days.
Okay.
Right? And Happy Days was like this great show, et cetera. And then they went to Hawaii on a trip. And, of course, the Fonz is skiing behind a boat. And here comes a shark. And he jumped over the shark and saved somebody. And everybody points to that moment of, that's the moment that Happy Days went from being a great show to being silly.
Wow.
And Kanye, I did not know
yeah, the
that's where that comes from.
Well, that's fascinating.
But Kanye, for me, has jumped the shark 4 or 5 years ago. When first of all, when he started running around in a red hat and, you know, the whole Trump stuff. And then, changing his name, and he jumped the shark, and now he's bought Parler. I don't even know what that is.
Well, it was a conservative alternative to Twitter at one time.
Okay.
And when Donald Trump got kicked off of Twitter, uh-huh. a lot of conservatives moved over to Parler. And then it had some technical issues, and I don't know what that thing is worth. And now, of course, Donald Trump himself owns Truth Social.
Okay, yeah.
Which that apparently is
not doing
struggling.
Well.
Yeah.
It's not going well. And then, so you've got Elon buying Twitter. You've got Kanye buying Parler. You've got Zuckerberg, who's essentially, you know, almost giving up on Facebook. Did you see what he's into? He's into this thing called Metaverse.
Right, yeah.
And you've played it. You've dealt with it at my office.
Oh, the golf thing.
Yeah, and so you put these lenses on, and you're in this virtual reality situation, and you were playing golf and in my office.
That was the Metaverse.
Yeah, but
it was very realistic because you could, you know, you hit the ball and you could see it, you know, flying out there.
Yeah.
I wasn't very good at it.
The first social media that I can remember is a thing called MySpace. Have you ever heard of MySpace?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, so MySpace was, I guess that may have been 20 years ago or so, and you would put up a song and maybe a picture of yourself and et cetera. But I don't know. I do the family stuff on Facebook. It is kind of cool to see pictures of your granddaughter on Facebook.
Yeah.
I see them.
Yeah.
And I don't like people who do politics on Facebook.
I agree with that.
I immediately just defriend them.
Right.
Now, Twitter, you get to choose who you're following.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're following a jerk who says jerky things, well, shame on you.
Right.
But I've watched social media rot some people's brains. Have you not?
Oh, it has. Yes, it's very destabilizing. What happens is it's this whole little world out there that exists, and you're in the middle of it. And you know, and you're talking about stuff, and people are talking about you, and you're talking about them, and it can really kind of. It can make you angry.
Mm-hmm.
Can make you depressed.
Yep.
It can make you laugh.
Impulsive.
Yeah, and then, you know, everybody, I'm sure most people have put a tweet out at some point that they regretted.
Tons.
Yeah.
Tons.
I probably.
I've had clients of mine, candidates, who I've pled with. I've said, look, you're going to announce tomorrow. I want you to delete social media. And I've had some that have followed that rule.
Yep.
Some right now that are running that have done that. Because there's nothing good happens on social media, especially in politics. It's just people trolling on you.
Right.
And there's nothing – it's hard to read about yourself. And if you're a politician, you're choosing to be in the public. But it takes some getting used to.
There are websites you can go to and find some of those old posts, you know.
I'm sure you can find them on mine. Then there are other candidates I've had that have kept it. And I think it has affected their ability to be – the best candidate and therefore the best elected official they could be, because they get obsessed with how do I react to the people who don't like me.
Right. Yeah. And that's just never, that's a good rule to live by, period. What other people think about me really
is none of my
matter.
Business.
It just doesn't matter.
But that's hard. That's a hard thing to swallow. I have a friend that says that to me all the time. Hey, what someone thinks of you is none of your business. Meaning you can't help what they're thinking about you, so why think about it?
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
But I do believe social media is rotting people, and I've watched it with my own friends. You and I have a mutual friend who I think social media has affected her immensely. Watching celebrities that are defined on social media Britney Spears. I mean, I think she's kind of in that whole realm right now of being defined on social media.
But you have to admit that Twitter for Donald Trump was a huge
totally.
Part of his success in electoral politics.
Well, it revolutionized politics.
Yeah.
I mean, because he really didn't raise any money, and all the money he's raising now he's not using for politics. He's using for lawyers. But he's still able to get his message out there. It's definitely transformed things. Anything that's ever been invented can be used for both good and bad.
Yep.
Fire.
True.
Fire was so important to us, but can also be used for bad things. Social media, yeah, there's some good aspects. I can look at my nieces, nephews. You can look at your grandchild, connect with people you haven't seen in a long time. Oh, and then you can have people say horrible, salacious things, and it really can mess with your brain.
Hmm. Speaking of your brain.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
What about my brain?
No, go ahead. You were.
Do you remember the old commercials? This is your brain.
Yeah.
This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah, it was a scrambled egg.
Yeah.
A fried egg.
Yeah, it was
fried
like over easy. I liked mine over easy.
I don't like it. I don't like stuff running out of my eggs.
Really?
No, I like my eggs over hard.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You don't want the yolk to have a little bit of softness to it?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
What are you doing over there, twittering?
No, I'm just doing a little show prep, as I like to do. I like to be prepared here for the people of St. Louis and beyond who are listening to the voice of St. Louis.
We're going to talk social media, and I like to rip on social media, but I'll have to tell you that probably 95% of all the media that I consume comes originally from Twitter.
Yeah.
Meaning if there's a story, something major's happened, I go to Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I'll seek out my sources from there, Washington Post, New York Times, whatever it might be. But for as much of a bum rap as we give social media, it's probably the thing that I'm most dependent on in terms of getting my news.
Yeah. And so you use Twitter. I know you use Facebook.
Right. For family photos and stuff. What about you?
I've got a Facebook page. I haven't looked at it in 6 years.
Yeah, I know. I've wished you a happy birthday 6 years in a row. You've never told me.
That's
thanks,
awfully
Mike.
Nice
that's awfully
of you.
Nice of you.
Yeah. I had to take my birthday off of there at one point.
Why is that?
That's a long story.
Oh, okay. That happens.
But I do use Twitter, and I do tweet on occasion. Rarely do I tweet about anything political.
Right. No. I never see you tweet politics.
So it's just stuff
I don't tweet.
I find interesting. I know you don't.
Yeah, I'm so glad I did that. I can tell you the exact moment. We were sitting in this studio.
Yeah.
The night Donald Trump won the election.
2016.
And I thought, I am never going to tweet again. And I've tweeted like two or three times since then, once when my father died and once about some other major thing.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not tweeting.
Yeah.
Because I find my brain coming up, with devious, snarky things to say.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that person.
No, nobody does.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting, that Jack Dorsey, who the founder of Twitter, right from right here in St. Louis, Missouri, I guess the company went public at some point.
Right.
And So, yeah, now we've got...
Elon Musk is purchasing it.
Apparently. I mean, where is that? Is that things...
Well, he said he was going to buy it, and then he didn't. And then now he's saying it's back on. But I think they also are forcing the lawsuit to try to enforce him buying. I think they're... I think Twitter was hoping to get some type of a settlement out of Elon Musk.
Right.
Like, hey, pay us $3 billion and we'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think Elon Musk is like, okay, I'm going to go forward with the $43 billion purchase. And I don't know why you'd want to own Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's going to take it from a public company to a private
company.
How
do they monetize that? I mean, I know they promote the tweets or whatever.
I see some promoted stuff on there, but I guess that's it, or the algorithm. Because what's amazing to me is, you know, we talk NFL, or we talk, if we were to talk a consumer product, Oreo cookies.
Yeah.
I feel like the next thing I know, showing up on my Twitter feed, will be Oreo cookies.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
They're
like the phone's listening to us.
Yeah, the phone definitely
I'm okay with that. I'm all right. Whatever.
Well, I don't like it. But
yeah, I don't like it either.
But at least somebody listens to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that.
Well, there's Gus on those walks.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Boy, I can't talk much because we're walking. You know?
You're huffing and puffing.
I'm huffing and puffing. So, and then you saw that Kanye, or I guess he's going by
Yay
now.
Y-E.
Yeah, has bought Parler.
Yeah. Now, do you know Kanye? He's jumped the shark. Do you know what that means?
No. I've heard this term.
So, jump the shark comes from the old Happy Days.
Okay.
Right? And Happy Days was like this great show, et cetera. And then they went to Hawaii on a trip. And, of course, the Fonz is skiing behind a boat. And here comes a shark, and he jumped over the shark and saved somebody. And everybody points to that moment of, that's the moment that Happy Days went from being a great show to being silly.
Wow.
And Kanye, for me...
I did not know
yeah, that's where that comes from.
Well, that's fascinating.
But Kanye, for me, has jumped the shark 4 or 5 years ago. When first of all, when he started running around in a red hat and... you know, the whole Trump stuff, and then changing his name, and he jumped the shark, and now he's bought Parler. I don't even know what that is.
Well, it was a conservative alternative to Twitter at one time.
Okay.
And when Donald Trump got kicked off of Twitter, a lot of conservatives moved over to Parler. And then it had some technical issues, and I don't know what that thing is worth. And now, of course, Donald Trump himself owns Truth Social.
Okay, yeah.
Which that apparently is
not doing
struggling.
Well.
Yeah.
It's not going well. And then, so you've got Elon buying Twitter. You've got Kanye buying Parler. You've got Zuckerberg, who's essentially, you know, almost giving up on Facebook. Did you see what he's into? He's into this thing called Metaverse.
Right, yeah.
And you've played it. You've dealt with it at my office.
Oh, the golf thing.
Yeah, and so you put these lenses on, and you're in this virtual reality situation, and you were playing golf and there in my office.
That was the Metaverse.
Yeah, but
it was very realistic because you could, you know, you hit the ball and you could see it, you know, flying out there.
Yeah.
I wasn't very good at it.
The first social media that I can remember is a thing called MySpace. Have you ever heard of MySpace?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, so MySpace was, I guess that may have been 20 years ago or so, and you would put up a song and maybe a picture of yourself and et cetera. But I don't know. I do the family stuff on Facebook. It is kind of cool to see pictures of your granddaughter on Facebook.
Yeah.
I see them.
Yeah.
And I don't like people who do politics on Facebook.
I agree with that.
I immediately just defriend them.
Right.
Now, Twitter, you get to choose who you're following.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're following a jerk who says jerky things, well, shame on you.
Right.
But I've watched social media rot some people's brains. Have you not?
Oh, it has. Yes. It's very destabilizing. What happens is it's this whole little world out there that exists and you're in the middle of it and, you know, and you're talking about stuff and people are talking about you and you're talking about them and it can really kind of. It can make you angry.
Mm-hmm.
Can make you depressed.
Yep.
It can make you laugh.
Impulsive.
Yeah, and then, you know, everybody, I'm sure most people have put a tweet out at some point that they regretted.
Puns.
Yeah.
Puns.
I probably
have. I've had clients of mine, candidates, who I've pled with. I've said, look, you're going to announce tomorrow. I want you to delete social media. And I've had some that have followed that rule.
Yep.
some right now that are running that have done that, because there's nothing good happens on social media, especially in politics. It's just people trolling on you.
Right.
And there's nothing, it's hard to read about yourself. And if you're a politician, you're choosing to be in the public, but it takes some getting used to.
There are websites you can go to and find some of those old posts, you know.
I'm sure you can find them on mine. Then there are other candidates I've had that have kept it, and I think it has affected their ability to be the best candidate and therefore the best elected official they could be, because they get obsessed with how do I react to the people who don't like me.
Right. Yeah, and that's just never – that's a good rule to live by, period. What other people think about me really doesn't matter.
It's none of my business.
It just doesn't matter.
But that's hard. That's a hard thing to swallow. I have a friend that says that to me all the time. Hey, what someone thinks of you is none of your business. Meaning you can't help what they're thinking about you, so why think about it?
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
But I do believe social media is rotting people, and I've watched it with my own friends. You and I have a mutual friend who I think social media has affected her immensely. Watching celebrities that are defined on social media Britney Spears. I mean, I think she's kind of in that whole realm right now of being defined on social media.
But you have to admit that Twitter for Donald Trump was a huge part of his success in electoral politics.
Well, it revolutionized politics. I mean, because he really didn't raise any money, and all the money he's raising now he's not using for politics. He's using for lawyers. But he's still able to get his message out there. It's definitely transformed things. Anything that's ever been invented can be used for both good and bad.
Yep.
Fire.
True.
Fire was so important to us, but can also be used for bad things. Social media, there's some good aspects. I can look at my nieces, nephews. You can look at your grandchild, connect with people you haven't seen in a long time. Oh, and then you can have people say horrible, salacious things, and it really can mess with your brain.
Hmm. Speaking of your brain. Well, go ahead.
What about my brain?
No, go ahead.
Do you remember the old commercials, This Is Your Brain?
Yeah.
This Is Your Brain on Drugs?
Yeah, it was a scrambled egg.
Yeah.
Or a fried egg.
Yeah, it was
fried
over easy. I liked mine over easy.
I don't like it. I don't like stuff running out of my eggs.
Really?
No, I like my eggs over hard.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You don't want the yolk to have a little bit of softness to it?
No.
Really?
I don't.
Well, what do you get the toast to sop it up, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't want any of that stuff running around on the
really?
Plate. Yeah.
So you're over hard is how you like a poached egg.
No, I like a fried egg. I like a scrambled egg.
But you want the yellow to be completely solidly cooked through.
Yes, I do.
That sounds horrible.
No, you put some bacon, you get a bagel, and you fry that egg up there, put it on a bagel. I'm getting hungry now.
Yeah.
And then you throw a couple of pieces of bacon on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
A little lettuce.
Yeah.
Mm. It's living.
Are you a breakfast guy normally?
No.
No?
You got
pancakes on Sunday, didn't you?
I did. Yes.
Yeah, he came in, he told me, buddy, I'm craving pancakes. Next thing I know, we do our TV show, and we called because we were going to meet up for a snooker later. And I said, where are you at? He goes, I'm in line at McDonald's to get pancakes. It's amazing how something pops into your head like that.
It is amazing. It's all amazing. And when we come back.
Well, I guess you're done with that topic.
There was an amazing fellow that we were talking about before the show. We're going to talk about him with you. That's after this. I'm KMOX.
Hey, it's the Hancock and Kelly Show. We're going to take you all the way up to 10 o'clock. Then you'll get the news. Then we've got something coming after that. I think it's the Best of Glover. And then it all starts all over again tomorrow morning with Total Information. You're going to want to tune into that. We've been joined in studio by Matt Pajeski. He's the producer here at KMOX. We affectionately refer to him as
PJ.
And PJ, you had a brush with illness the other day.
Yeah.
Huh? What happened?
Thursday night, I was here in my usual spot eating some Chinese food that was left over from my mom.
Why do you keep talking about food?
Oh, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. But it was some egg foo young from a nearby Chinese restaurant, which will not be named.
Okay.
But had the egg foo young, and noticed my throat was getting a little scratchy.
Uh-huh.
And right off the bat, I'm thinking, this does not feel normal, and then I start coughing a lot.
Oh, boy.
And I know something's up. So I start to kind of freak out. I start to overthink, and I look over to Matt Pauly, who's getting ready to go on the air, and I look to him, and I say, do I look red, or do I look normal? And He says, yeah, something is not right. So rushed out to my car, grabbed an EpiPen, which I keep on me because I've got a peanut allergy. I guess I should have started with that. Grabbed my inhaler, all these things that I've got in case something like this happens. I used the EpiPen, used the inhaler, and still wasn't really feeling that great. So I had my parents pick me up from work and drive me to the ER and stay there for about 4 or 5 hours at Barnes Jewish till about midnight. They wanted to keep an eye on me and monitor all my vitals. So it was a scary experience, but it turned out all right.
And your peanuts.
Yeah, your air pipe supply was getting cut off, huh?
Yeah, my throat was getting scratchy and kind of tightening up, and it was getting a little hard to breathe there, and that's scary.
When were you first diagnosed with this?
Oh, when I was, like, really young. Like, when I was a baby, they did the little pinprick and at the allergist, and whatever reacts under the pinprick is what you're allergic to. So that's really the only way I found out was back then as a baby.
I had no idea that peanuts. I've experienced people who've had shellfish.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can eat shellfish for most of your life, and then all of a sudden one day you just can become allergic
really?
To it. Yeah. And I'll tell you who I witnessed it with this was the guy who used to own the Blues, Mike Shanahan. When I was a kid, I was with him and my dad when it happened.
Wow.
He had a shellfish allergy, and it started to. But I've never knew that could happen with peanuts.
Yeah, it's anaphylaxis.
Antiphylaxis?
Anaphylaxis.
And so you carry an EpiPen?
I did her back in the 11th grade.
I did too. She was fun.
Yeah.
Did you, so you have to carry this EpiPen with you ever? Is there other things that can cause it besides peanuts?
Cashews and Brazil nuts for me.
Brazil nuts.
Different for everybody. Other people are allergic to pecans and almonds.
Yeah, that's why you can't get a peanut on the airplane anymore.
No.
Really?
Because of people like me.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
I didn't know that was
good. I mean, you like break out even if you get near one, right? Kind of?
I'm not that severely allergic. It just depends on the person.
You just can't eat the darn
things. No, I can't eat one myself.
I guess peanut butter is out.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Haven't had a Reese's Pieces, haven't had a Snickers.
Yeah. So do you... I would imagine grocery shopping has to, like, you've got to constantly look at all the ingredients to make sure there's not peanut in it.
Yeah, but, I mean, I haven't had a run-in with it my entire life, so I feel like I know at this point now what could be potentially risky, what's not.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the most surprising food for somebody who's ignorant, like myself, to peanut allergies that, like, there's peanuts in them?
Nothing really.
Like pizza crust or
no.
Yeah. I mean, that's in a pizza crust.
Come on. I'm just throwing out an example.
Well, there's no peanuts in a pizza crust.
How do you know? There
because
could be some in some peanut crust.
They put bread, they put wheat, they put flour in the pizza crust.
Right. Some people have like the severe allergy where they can't even use, they can't eat anything that's been processed on the same equipment in the factory as a peanut.
Where does all this stuff come from? I mean, you know.
I don't ever remember this.
I've been around for a few years. And I don't remember people being allergic to everything and under the sun. Now they got this thing that, well, you got the gluten.
Yeah, I think that's a crock.
I mean, some people say they got a gluten, whatever.
Or how about the people who don't like or can't deal with milk? Lactose deal.
Well, yeah, my buddy JP is like that.
Is he?
Yeah.
And what happens to him if he drinks milk? It just does the same thing?
I don't think he drinks milk.
So, I think milk's nasty. I like ice cream, but I think
I'll tell you
nasty.
Where milk is perfect.
Tell me.
With a Girl Scout cookie.
Okay.
You dip that sucker or Oreos, quite good with milk.
Uh-huh.
And milk is quite good with lasagna.
Ugh. Pasta and lasagna?
Yeah.
Pasta and lasagna.
Yeah, you get the pasta and you get the milk. It's good. It's very good. It's very quenching of the
So if he's lactose intolerant and he can't do milk, can he do cheese?
Yeah, I think so. And he can take something before.
That.
Like, he'll have ice cream, but he'll have to take a pill before he eats it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. How old is he?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's younger, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's considerably younger than us.
Right. Well, he's not considerably younger than you. He's considerably younger than me.
Now, I know people who are allergic to, like, wasps that have to carry around an EpiPen. Is that of the same ilk as a peanut allergy? Because they carry in an EpiPen,
I
too.
Guess. I never really thought about that. I know the EpiPen's probably the same. It delivers a shot of epinephrine or norepinephrine into your system. And it just pumps you full of adrenaline so your body can survive it. And then after that, you need to be taken to the hospital like right away.
Yeah.
And you've got that drug in
you. Right.
Yeah. This sounds like the
norepinephrine. I think I dated her too.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like the stuff they put into folks who've had an overdose to get the adrenaline up.
Amen.
Right? Like, remember that in the Pulp Fiction movie when...
Well, that's what, you know, in the hospital movie, they're always giving them, you know...
Yeah, give me 20 cc's. I've got for some norepinephrine.
Yeah. Yeah. Stat.
Stat.
Stat. Why don't they just say quick?
I don't know.
I mean, you're a doctor.
Right.
This is somebody over there. Okay, give me that thing quickly. I need it now. No. Stat.
You remember T.J. Hooker?
I do.
T.J. Hooker used to say, 4 Adam 30, blah, 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 blah. And so every time I would run into a cop when I was a kid, I'd say, hey, what does 4 Adam 30 mean? And they'd be like, it means nothing. I don't even know what you're talking about. But they always used to say it in T.J. Hooker. So I thought, well, that's what cops say, 4 Adam 30. I'm going to go take care of this.
Yeah, they had those little CB-looking things.
Uh-huh.
CBs, you were probably too young for the CB craze, right?
Oh, there, Trucker 29, how you doing?
Do you even remember what a CB was? Yeah, Matt doesn't know. That was like all the thing, and it was like channel...
Did you ever have a CB in your car?
No.
Did you ever have one in your house?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
Yeah.
We had a neighbor who had one.
Yeah.
And I also had a neighbor who had a shortwave radio.
Oh, yeah.
What do they call those?
Ham radios.
Ham.
That's what Jim White was into.
Yeah.
Here, he used to broadcast in those ham radios. You can hear all over the world, apparently. I mean, they're pretty cool.
How does that work?
I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I'm always interested in how that works. And then how about the guys who figured out, like, hey, we get these pigeons, and we can tie, you know, notes to them and take them to Germany and let them loose, and they'll fly back to France with the note. Does that make sense?
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, they're called...
Carrier pigeons.
Yes. How did you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's amazing that they can... train these things to fly, and they, you know, it's
well,
not like they've been
smart.
There before.
Birds are very smart. They,
how do you know?
Because, I mean, look at them, you know? Yeah, somehow they find stuff to eat, you know?
Uh-huh.
They build those nests like
that. Do
you
have a favorite bird?
It's cardinal.
I think mine is, too.
Yeah.
John Ashcroft's favorite bird?
The eagles.
Yeah.
They let the eagle soar.
He's never soared before.
Yeah.
He's still living in Missouri?
He is. He's got a farm outside of Springfield. He's 80 years old now.
Retired now?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, he still does some speaking, and I think he teaches a little bit, I think like at Liberty University. Really good, fine, fine man. I just like and respect John Ashcroft so much. And he sang at my wedding.
Did he really?
He did.
Did he sing The Eagles Will Soar?
He sang the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, how about that?
And it was lovely. He did a lovely job. And there he was, yeah. Missed the high note.
It is Hancock and Kelly. We'll be back with you on Friday morning at this time at 8:30.
Right,
we'll be here till about 11. We sit in with the show.
And then
you can always check us out on Sunday mornings at 8:30 on Fox 2 for Hancock and Kelly, the TV show.
PJ, I'm glad you survived your peanut ordeal.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah, and you're looking fine. None the worse for the wear, I would say. So, folks, you never know what you're going to learn here. Shawn Michael Lyle checks in with us next Monday. We're back next Monday, aren't we?
Always.
It's hard to keep it straight. Well, all right, folks, thanks so much. Stick around. It's the Best of Glover. All that coming your way right here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
It's the Hancock and Kelly Show. We're going to take you all the way up to 10 o'clock. Then you'll get the news. Then we've got something coming after that. I think it's the Best of Glover. And then it all starts all over again tomorrow morning with Total Information. You're going to want to tune into that. We've been joined in studio by Matt Pajeski. He's the producer here at KMOX. We affectionately refer to him as...
PJ.
And PJ, you had a brush with illness the other day,
yeah.
Huh? What happened?
Thursday night, I was here in my usual spot eating some Chinese food that was left over from my mom.
Why do you keep talking about food?
Oh, sorry. Uh-huh. But it was some egg foo young from a nearby Chinese restaurant, which will not be named.
Okay.
But had the egg foo young and noticed my throat was getting a little scratchy.
Uh-huh.
And right off the bat, I'm thinking, this does not feel normal. And then I start coughing a lot.
Oh, boy.
And I know something's up. So I start to kind of freak out. I start to overthink. And I look over to Matt Pauly, who's getting ready to go on the air. And I look to him and I say, do I look red or do I look normal? And he says, yeah, something is not right. So rushed out to my car, grabbed an EpiPen, which I keep on me because I've got a peanut allergy. I guess I should have started with that. Grabbed my inhaler, all these things that I've got in case something like this happens. I used the EpiPen, used the inhaler, and still wasn't really feeling that great. So I had my parents pick me up from work and drive me to the ER and stay there for about 4 or 5 hours at Barnes Jewish till about midnight. They wanted to keep an eye on me and monitor all my vitals. So
wow.
It was a scary experience, but it turned out all right.
And it's your peanuts.
Yeah, your air pipe supply was getting cut off, huh?
Yeah, my throat was getting scratchy and kind of tightening up, and it was getting a little hard to breathe there, and that's scary.
When were you first diagnosed with this?
Oh, when I was like really young, like when I was a baby, they did the little pinprick and at the allergist, and whatever reacts under the pinprick is what you're allergic to. So that's really the only way I found out was back then as a baby.
I had no idea that peanuts. I've experienced people who've had shellfish.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can eat shellfish for most of your life, and then all of a sudden one day you just can become allergic
really?
To it. Yeah. And I'll tell you who I witnessed it with this was the guy who used to own the Blues, Mike Shanahan. When I was a kid, I was with him and my dad when it happened.
Wow.
He had a shellfish allergy, and it started to. But I've never knew that could happen with peanuts.
Yeah, it's anaphylaxis.
Anaphylaxis?
Anaphylaxis.
And so you carry an EpiPen.
I dated her back in the 11th grade.
I did, too. She was fun.
Yeah.
Did you... So you have to carry this EpiPen with you ever? Is there other things that can cause it besides peanuts?
Cashews and Brazil nuts for me.
Brazil nuts.
Different for everybody. Other people are allergic to pecans and almonds.
Yeah, that's why you can't get a peanut on the airplane anymore.
No.
Really?
Because of people like me.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
I didn't know that was...
I mean, you like... break out even if you get near one, right? Kind of?
I'm not that severely allergic. Good. It just depends on the person.
You just can't eat the nuts.
No, I can't eat one myself.
I guess peanut butter is out.
Out of the question.
Yeah.
Haven't had a Reese's Pieces, haven't had a Snickers.
Yeah. So do you, I would imagine grocery shopping has to, like, you've got to constantly look at all the ingredients to make sure there's not peanut in it.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't had a run-in with it my entire life, so I feel like I know at this point now what could be potentially risky, what's not.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the most surprising food for somebody who's ignorant like myself to peanut allergies that, like, there's peanuts in them?
Nothing really.
Like pizza crust or
no.
I mean, that's in a pizza crust.
Come on, I'm just throwing out an example.
There's no peanuts in a pizza crust.
How do you know? There
because
could
they
be some
in
some peanut
pizza crust.
Peanut crust.
They put bread, they put wheat, they put flour in the pizza crust.
Right. Some people have like the severe allergy where they can't even they can't eat anything that's been processed on the same equipment in the factory as a peanut.
Where does all this stuff come from? I mean, you know.
I don't ever remember this.
I've been around for a few years. And I don't remember people being allergic to everything and under the sun. Now they got this thing that, you got the gluten.
Yeah, I think that's a crock.
I mean, some people say they got a gluten, whatever.
Or how about the people who don't like or can't deal with milk? Lactose deal.
Well, yeah, my buddy JP is like that.
Is he?
Yeah.
And what happens to him if he drinks milk? It just does the same thing?
I don't think he drinks milk.
So, I think milk's nasty. I like ice cream, but I think
I'll tell you
nasty.
Where milk is perfect.
Tell me.
With a Girl Scout cookie.
Okay.
You dip that sucker or Oreos, quite good with milk.
Uh-huh.
And milk is quite good with lasagna.
Ugh. Pasta and lasagna?
Yeah.
Pasta and lasagna.
Yeah, you get the pasta and you get the milk. It's very good. It's very quenching of the...
Wait, so if he's lactose intolerant and he can't do milk, can he do cheese?
Yeah, I think so. And he can take something before.
That.
Like, he'll have ice cream, but he'll have to take a pill before he eats it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. How old is he?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's younger, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's considerably younger than us.
Right. Well, he's not considerably younger than you. He's considerably younger than me.
Now, I know people who are allergic to, like, wasps that have to carry around an EpiPen. Is that of the same ilk as a peanut allergy? Because they carry in an EpiPen,
I
too.
I guess. I never really thought about that. I know the EpiPen's probably the same. It delivers a shot of epinephrine or norepinephrine into your system, and it just pumps you full of adrenaline so your body can survive it. And then after that, you need to be taken to the hospital like right away.
Yeah.
You've got that drug in
you. Yeah.
This sounds like the
norepinephrine. I think I dated her, too.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like the stuff they put into folks who've had an overdose to get the adrenaline up.
Amen.
Right? Like, remember that in the Pulp Fiction movie when...
Well, that's what, in the hospital movie, they're always giving them,
give me 20 cc's.
They got a
20 cc's.
Yeah. Stat. Why don't they just say quick?
I don't know.
I mean, you're a doctor.
Right.
This is somebody over there. Okay, give me that thing quickly. I need it now. No. Stat.
You remember T.J. Hooker?
I do.
T.J. Hooker used to say, 4 out of 30, blah, 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 blah. And so I, every time I would run into a cop when I was a kid, I'd say, hey, what does 4 Adam 30 mean? And they'd be like, it means nothing. I don't even know what you're talking about. But they always used to say it in T.J. Hooker. So I thought, well, that's what cops say, 4 Adam 30. We're going to go take care of this.
Yeah, they had those little CB-looking things.
Uh-huh.
CBs, you were probably too young for the CB craze, right?
Hello there, Trucker 29, how you doing?
Do you even remember what a CB was? Yeah, Matt doesn't know. That was like all the thing, and it was like channel...
Did you ever have a CB in your car?
No.
Did you ever have one in your house?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
Yeah.
We had a neighbor who had one.
Yeah.
And I also had a neighbor who had a shortwave radio.
Oh, yeah.
What do they call those?
Ham radios.
Ham.
That's what Jim White was into.
Yeah.
Here. He used to broadcast in those ham radios. You can hear all over the world, apparently. I mean, they're pretty cool.
How does that work?
I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I'm always interested in how that works. And then how about the guys who figured out, like, hey, we get these pigeons and we can tie, you know, notes to them and take them to Germany and let them loose and they'll fly back to France with the note. Does that make sense?
I guess.
Yeah, they're called...
Carrier pigeons.
Yes. How did you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I think that's amazing that they can train these things to fly. And they, you know, it's not like they've been there before.
Birds are very smart. They,
how do you know?
Because, I mean, look at them, you know? Yeah, somehow they find stuff to eat, you know?
Uh-huh.
They build those nests like
that. Do you
have
a favorite bird?
It's cardinal.
I think mine is, too.
Yeah.
John Ashcroft's favorite bird?
The eagles.
Yeah.
They let the eagle soar.
He's never soared before.
Yeah.
He's still living in Missouri?
He is. He's got a farm outside of Springfield. He's 80 years old now.
Retired now?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, he still does some speaking, and I think he teaches a little bit, I think, like at Liberty University. Really good, fine, fine man. I just like and respect John Ashcroft so much. And he sang at my wedding.
Did he really?
He did.
Did he sing the Eagles Will Soar?
He sang the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, how about that?
It was lovely. He did a lovely job. And there he was. Yeah. Missed the high note.
It is Hancock and Kelly. We'll be back with you on Friday morning at this time at 8:30.
Here.
We'll be here till about 11. We sit in with the show. You can always check us out on Sunday mornings at 8:30 on Fox 2 for Hancock and Kelly, the TV show.
PJ, I'm glad you survived your peanut ordeal.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah, and you're looking fine. None the worse for the wear, I would say. So, folks, you never know what you're going to learn here. Shawn Michael Lyle checks in with us next Monday. We're back next Monday, aren't we?
Always.
It's hard to keep it straight. Well, all right, folks, thanks so much. Stick around. It's the Best of Glover. All that coming your way right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.